Are you convinced that some people are simply not open to the gospel? I mean, there's no way. They'll never come to Christ. And so you've kind of given up? If so, don't miss today's program. There's hope.
Is there someone you long to share your faith with, but he or she just seems so resistant? Well, thanks for dropping by for this Friday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. My name is Dave Drewy, and today Chip will unmask some common myths about evangelism and help us to remove the preconceived ideas we have about sharing the gospel. If you'd like to share this message with a friend, tell them to sign up for the Living on the Edge daily podcast. Now, it's free, and it only takes a few minutes to sign up. Simply go to lote.org, that's lote.org, and click on the Listen Online button there on our homepage, and then follow the instructions for subscribing to the Living on the Edge podcast. Now, let's join Chip for today's message, Exposing the Five Myths of Evangelism.
I believe that you're in Christ, you love God, you care about people, but there are some myths that you believe, myths that I believe, and they're myths, they're lies. But we believe them, and they stunt our spiritual evangelistic temperature. I want to start with a story. True story happened many years ago that it revealed one of these myths in my life. There's a fellow, his name's Steve, and I can use his name because we're buddies now, but he wasn't a believer at the time. He lived in the frat house, and then he also ended up living a lot of time. His girlfriend had an apartment. I noticed most weekends he lived there. And Steve was kind of a big man on campus type guy, you know, either an all-American swimmer or close to it. Very good-looking, frat man, popular, cool, in. He had a mouth that was just, profane. Very irreligious. I just knew that, you know, of all the people that I'm probably going to try and reach on this campus, he's probably not going to be one of them. And the long and the short of it is, I was a little intimidated, and I just had a lot of people that I thought were a lot more open. I'm not going there. Steve ended up going home to visit his girlfriend's parents, and of course he was living in a lifestyle with her that they did not approve of, but they did know about. So they go home, and her parents are, staunch believers. I mean, they really love God, and they live in the hills of West Virginia, as in Appalachia, and you fill in the picture. And so they drive in these windy roads, and they make it, and he's going, you know, my land, you know, it's the weekend, like he's sleeping in this room, and she's sleeping in that room, and he's having breakfast, he tells me about, and acts real polite to her folks, and of course, they're going to get up and go to this little white church, and you know, there's like 35, 45 people in it, and this really old guy who's fairly monotone and, you know, not really all that exciting, but I mean, this old guy gets up and goes, God loves you, and I mean, it's the most unseeker-sensitive place you can imagine. Okay? People are lost. Christ died for lost people. You got to receive Christ to get in. He wants to change your life. If you're in sin, stop it, turn to Him, receive forgiveness, and get with the ball game. Loose translation of his sermon. Well, this very good-looking, athletic, smart, popular, with it, got it all together guy is convicted by the Holy Spirit. And he is deeply moved, and he can't understand it. And, you know, they do the altar call, the whole nine yards, and he comes to Christ. I mean, God's amazing sense of humor. He comes to Christ. So he comes back, and he's out in the yard. It's a weekend, and I see him coming out of his girlfriend's house, and I don't know any of this, and I make the normal assumptions, and da-da-da-da-da. Steve, how you doing? He said, oh, okay, my back. What's wrong? Oh, man, that couch is killing me. So what do you mean, the couch? He said, let me tell you what happened. I mean, he's bold as a lion. He said, yeah, I went home last weekend with my girlfriend. You know, I never heard about this, but then he gives me the gospel. And he said, I don't know enough yet, but I just don't think God would be real happy if we keep sleeping together. So she slept in the bedroom. I slept out on the couch. I said, that's probably not a real good plan either, but we'll get to that later. Then he finds out about the ministry I'm in. Then he comes and he starts to grow. He gets in a Bible study and we get to know each other. Then when we play basketball, we're buddies. And then one night he stops me and said, hey, Chip, can I ask you something? I said, sure. You know, I mean, this is like Saul to Paul. I mean, you know, of all the guys I think I'm ever going to come into faith, this is not one of them. He said, you know, all this stuff about Jesus really being God and he did the miracles and how he loves us and that we're all lost in our sin and our guilt, and that he actually loved us so much that he came and died on a cross for us and then rose from the dead, and there were eyewitnesses and everything, and that all you need to do is accept the free gift of Jesus on the cross to be a Christian. He said, did you know about that? I said, well, yeah. He said, I don't want to be rude, but you knew about that, right? Yeah. And we've been playing ball up there for, what, a year? I said, 9 months, you know. He said, Chip, how come you never told me? I mean, you knew how I could have my sins forgiven, and you can't imagine the guilt that I've been struggling with. You don't know the conflict I've had. You have no idea the background I came out of. Man, I feel like the weight of the world has come off my shoulders. You don't know the conflict I've had with this gal? Now, let me just get this right. You knew about this forgiveness and that it was a free gift. Why didn't you tell me? I didn't have a good answer. But let me show you something, because we're going to talk about myths. And what I realized was I looked at people from the outside, and I assumed that if they looked a certain way, they may not be open. Steve was popular. He was a party animal. He was a number one athlete. He swore profusely. He was in and cool frat guy. He was very unreligious. He was dating a beautiful girl and living in immorality. And he was totally open to Christ. I didn't tell him because I believed a myth. I believed that people that had it mostly together, or I thought had it together, according to the world's standards, probably wouldn't be open to Christ, because the myth I had was, he doesn't have any real needs. So he's not open. You are living in the proximity of a Steve or a Stephanie in your life, I'll guarantee it right now, that God is working in their heart and their life, and you look at them and you say, man, they got a nice house, they got nice cars, they got a great job, they got beautiful looking kids, or they seem so secure in their singleness, or they're dating someone pretty, and it all looks really, really good, and they've had a few snide comments about Christianity here or there, or they have some irreligious habits or activities that turn you off, and there's a Steve or a Stephanie in your life that you are not even identifying yourself as a believer, let alone sharing the gospel, because, like me, you believe, oh no, they're not open. Myth number one is that people are not open. We believe that. We really believe people are not open. 3 in 4, 77% of the unchurched pray to God, with 4 in 10 of those doing so once a day or more. So of those people that you think aren't open, 77% of them pray. These are unchurched people. This is Gallup, not Christianity Today. A few years ago, we did a staff elder retreat. And I don't know, we had 25, 30 people. We did a little experiment. And so I thought, you know, as staff members, you know, speed leader, speed of the team. You'll hear that, you'll keep hearing it. And so we did a little evangelistic survey. And we had 5 questions, and we went in teams. And the 5th question on a survey was this: would you be willing to attend a church or a synagogue? We were trying to be real broad, and have someone explain to you how you could have a personal relationship with God. We went out 2 by 2. Asked people on the corners, people coming out of here, people who looked all kind of different ways. 73% of the people said, if someone invited me to come somewhere to hear how I could have a personal relationship with God, I'd be willing to go. Myth number one, you know why we don't share our faith? We don't think people are open. Listen to the words of Jesus, John chapter 4. Do you not say 4 months more and then comes the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for spiritual harvest is the idea. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now the harvest the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. We need to begin to believe John 4. The people that you pass by day in and day out, regardless of how they look on the outside, they're open. Second myth is that witnessing is reserved for spiritual superstars. That's the key word. And people with outgoing personalities. Have you bought into this one? Now, I know some people are going to be witnesses, you know, superstars. They got these outgoing personalities. They tell these stories of sitting down on a plane and 2 hours later, the person's on their knees in the aisle becoming a Christian, you know, giving their testimony before everyone on the plane and becoming the president of a country or something. So what happens is we think witnessing is for like people like that. The false premise is this, that the power is in the messenger instead of in the message. That's wrong thinking. We think the power, when someone shares their faith, we think the power is in the messenger of Billy Graham. We think they must have a special personality, a special connection with God. The power is in the messenger. You know what the Bible teaches? The Bible teaches the power is in the message. Romans 1:16. The Apostle Paul writes, says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel." I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to let people know I belong to Christ and there's good news. Why? What's it say? Because it, the gospel, is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. Do you realize it's not the vehicle that it comes through? Your personality, your presentation, you know what? You've got a responsibility. The power isn't in the messenger. The power is in the gospel. Let me tell you how powerfully I learned this one time. Many, many, many years ago, I was on a basketball team, evangelistic team. We're playing throughout all South America. My favorite country in the whole world was Chile, except for one city. There's the farthest city in the world is called Punta Arenas. And I mean, so our summer is their winter and vice versa. I mean, the next stop is the South Pole. And we're playing all these big teams, and we played their Olympic teams. And, you know, we had a really good team and all these, you know, 6'8", 6'11", 7'7", 1. We had this great team and really neat stuff happening. And I'm this little guy who brings up the ball and gives it to the big guys and we win the games. But, you know, I can live with that. And so we get to Punta Arenas, and we're doing a game in the morning, we're doing a clinic in the afternoon, and then playing a very, very high-level competitive game in the evenings. And the cities are sponsoring it. They're paying for everything except our airfare because they charge people to get in. Then at halftime, we get a chance to share the gospel, and we stay around for a couple hours, and people come down. They can sign up for a Bible course. We coordinate it with the missionaries. Awesome opportunity. So we're in Punta Arenas. Well, you can imagine, in Punta Arenas, not a lot of action in that town. It's not a real big town. And so you imagine American team, red, white, and blue stripe, you know, uniforms and sweats, and we get off the plane. The TV cameras are there. I mean, this is the biggest thing that's happened to them in ages. I am peopled out. I mean, I have shared my testimony so many times. We've been up to the late hours, the early mornings. I'm so sick of people. You ever get there? You know, just, yeah. I mean, just like, you know, I just don't want to talk to anybody. And so we get to the airport, and there's the reporters and TV cameras, and, you know, like, they really want to talk to the skinny little guy. You know, they want to talk to the 7-foot guy and the 6'11 guy and the coach. And so I find a little corner, and I sit down and just lean against the wall and go, "Oh, God, this feels so good. I don't want to be here. I know it's your will. I don't want to talk to anybody. I hope no one comes around me. I hope they leave me alone. I'm feeling sorry for myself." You've been there. You've done that, okay? So this little kid gets up and talks to me. He says, "Hey, senor, senor, ¿qué tal aquí? You know, what is this thing here, you know? And la programa," and, you know, he talks to me. And I'm going, "Oh, man, kid, you know, go talk to someone else." I didn't say that. That's how I felt. So the long and the short of it, he asked about the program. And so I said, "Yeah, look. And he's got two or three of his little friends. "Yeah, you know, leyes or whatever, law number one, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life." Okay, and you read the verse out loud. And, you know, kids, you know, that's what the program, I'm dead serious. You know, it's like, you know, get out of my hair. And they go, oh, and they open it up. I'm like, "Oh, I don't want to read anymore." Okay, law number two, everyone has a big problem. The problem is sin. For all of sin falls short of the glory of God. Wages of sin is death. You can read it, kids. And, you know, they're getting excited. And this creates a big problem. You're on this side of the bridge. And, you know, this kid, "Oh, more and more." And I'm going, "Kid, go play in the traffic, man. You're making me nuts. God has a solution. God demonstrates his love for us so much that Christ died for our sin," Romans 5:8. And it's over here, and there's a little bridge, and you walk across the bridge. "Senor, senor, how?" And John 1:16, kid, man, I'll tell you, just leave me alone. As many as receive Christ, to them, he gives the power to receive, you know. Read it for yourself. I don't want to go into it. And we read it, and he asked a couple questions, and man, I'm glad that's over. So they did the big interviews, and I'm in my own pity party. So we played that night in an unheated gym. We played in our warm-ups, and I played with gloves on. My jumper was not falling, but with gloves, it was even worse. I turned the ball over. It went off my foot. I'm focused on me. I'm sick of myself. The game gets over, and usually I have an evangelistic heart. I don't think I have the gift of evangelism, but I have a real evangelistic heart. And so as soon as the games were over, I used to get up and just see, boy, who's going to come down and talk with them and try out every little word I knew. And we just, every night we led 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 people to Christ. You know, each player. It was just awesome. And this night, I just told God, not going there. I mean, at one point in the game, the coach just took me out. I mean, it was embarrassing. I mean, you ever just play so bad where the coach does you a favor, like, come sit down, you know? This isn't good for you. It's not good for us. Just come sit down. And what's worse is when you feel like this is a good decision. I don't want to be there. And so I sit down. The game gets over. I mean, the place is packed. And I crossed my arms. I said, God, I'm not talking to anybody tonight. I'm on vacation. Tell you what, you want someone to talk to me, I'm sitting right in this chair, I'm not getting up, I'm not going to say anything to anyone. If you want anyone to talk to me, you have them come up and ask me to share the gospel with them. Now, I don't suggest this is the kind of relationship and the way to talk to God, but I'm stressed out, burned out, wiped out. Long and the short of it is, I sit there for a while and I watch it all happen, and then a crowd comes around my chair. No joke, gospel truth. And some guy says, excuse me, and he asked me, you know, what is this message that you have? I've never heard it before. And so, you know, the little light comes on, and I realize, you know, God has spoken. He took me up on his offer. I got out of my pity party. I stood up. I began to communicate as clearly as I could with enthusiasm the gospel. A missionary came by because they started asking some questions, and he translated, and all of a sudden, man, we were clicking, baby. I could, whoop, here we go, you know. And I had a change, and I'm talking and talking, and they're asking questions, and I lay out the gospel. And then I've got it clear. You hear this side, here's the answer. Are you willing to accept? And then before I asked people if they wanted to pray and receive Christ, I said, has anyone here ever prayed to ask the God of the Bible, the Lord Jesus, to come into their life, forgive them of their sin, to take you from this side over with death by his grace to life? And out of the crowd, this little hand comes up and says, si, Señor, I did. And I looked and I thought, this kid looks familiar. And I said, when? Este día. El aeropuerto. Today, at the airport. Had about 30 people in that group come to Christ. And then we sat down and got to follow up and talk and get them hooked up with people. And that little boy came up and sat next to me. I shared the gospel as badly, with the worst attitude that you can share it. But here's the point. The power isn't in the messenger. The power is in the message.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. And Chip's talk today, Exposing the Five Myths of Evangelism, is from a groundbreaking series called Going Public with Your Faith. If the thought of sharing your faith makes you uneasy or uncomfortable, this series is for you. Going Public with Your Faith goes beyond the basics to help you discover your evangelism style, and then prepares you to tell others about Christ in the way that God designed you to communicate. You'll learn the proven methods for sharing your testimony, and you'll understand how to effectively witness to those people God has placed around you. Going Public with Your Faith is a 5-part CD series, and it's available right now from Living on the Edge for a special on-air discount price. You know, there's no greater joy than leading someone to Christ and watching God change a life for eternity. Call Living on the Edge today at 1-888-333-6003. That's 1-888-333-6003 for complete pricing and ordering information for the series Going Public with Your Faith. Now, in addition to our current series, Chip has another resource that he would like to share with you this month. It's a CD series called Why I Believe. Now, Chip has joined us here in studio to talk about this particular resource. And Chip, in today's message, you surfaced a lot of myths that we all believe about evangelism. And one of those myths is that people really don't want to hear about Jesus.
Well, you know, that's true, Dave. In fact, I've gone on surveys. I've read. People are really open to the gospel. It is our fear of rejection and that they're going to ask us a question that we don't know that leads us to believe that they're not really open. And so this month, I mean, I don't know that we've ever done a whole series that we're making available, but all this month, the series Why I Believe answers those toughest questions. You know, why I believe in the resurrection, why I believe in creation, why I believe in the God of the Bible versus all the other God options. And it's kind of an intellectual apologetic approach that for those people who say, you know, I don't think people are really open, but boy, if they were, I would love to give them some of the answers that I don't think I could give them. And this is just really a tool, Dave, to help our listeners be successful in reaching the people that they love.
Well, thanks, Chip. For a limited time, we're making this series, Why I Believe, available for a gift of any amount. It's our way of saying thank you for your support of Living on the Edge. Now, to take advantage of this special offer, call Living on the Edge today at 1-888-333-6003. That's 1-888-333-6003 with your gift of any amount, and we'll send you your copy of the five-part CD series, Why I Believe. That number again is 1-888-333-6003, 1-888-333-6003. Now here's Chip with some closing thoughts from today's message.
I begin today's message with a story about a fella that I was convinced that would never come to Christ. I mean, never come to Christ. And yet, he did. And then he came and he asked me a question that blew me away. He said, Chip, now, could I get this straight? You're a Christian. I said, yeah. And you knew all about forgiveness. And I said, yeah. And you knew I wasn't a Christian. And I said, yeah. He said, Chip, why didn't you tell me? And I mean, it penetrated my heart. But what I realized was because of certain ways that he acted, certain ways that he spoke, and certain relationships that he had, I thought, there is no way. Can I remind you? We can't see into the hearts of people. And people are masters. I mean, you are probably, and I know I am. We are masters at times of projecting things that have no correlation to the deep issues going on in our heart. That fella Steve, I had the chance to later disciple and help, he was wide open to the gospel. And I knew that because the way he came to Christ, it blew my mind. I mean, I never dreamed of all the people that would reach him, how he came to Christ. So I want to remind you that people may not be as closed as you think. Right now, are you ready? Think of the person that you're convinced really isn't open to the gospel. Now, myth number one was people are not open. That's a lie. Jesus said what? The fields are white for harvest. Gallup poll tells us what? There's a huge percentage of the people that pray every day. 6 or 7 out of 10 believe Jesus is the Son of God. 58% even believe the Bible. A great majority believe in life after death. There is fruit hanging all around your office, fruit in your neighborhood, but those people aren't hearing because what? I buy the lie. I'm thinking, they'll never respond. The second myth, and this is the one that really has helped me the most, is that the power is in the messenger instead of the power being in the message. And I got thinking that, you know, if you're not Billy Graham or have a salesperson personality, God will never use me. I got news for you. The story I shared about that little boy in Chile at the airport, that has marked my life. Because what I realize is this isn't about Chip Ingram, and it's not about you. It's about getting the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation, whether it's in printed form, whether it's in a tape that you give them, or whether you draw a little illustration on a napkin. The gospel is the power of God. Get the powerful gospel before people, and you'll find something amazing happens. God will save them. Let's go for it together.
Thanks, Chip. As we wrap up today's program, let me quickly remind you that Living on the Edge is now on TV. That's right. You can catch Living on the Edge each Monday evening at 7 Eastern Time on DirecTV Channel 378. Now, this new television program has the same great teaching from Chip Ingram, and it's a great way to introduce others to the ministry or to the gospel. That's Living on the Edge TV each Monday evening at 7 Eastern on DirecTV Channel 378. Well, join us again on Monday as Chip continues our current series, Going Public with Your Faith. For Chip Ingram and the entire staff here at Living on the Edge, I'm Dave Drewy. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge.